This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman with Howard Wilkinson. A number of deadly school shootings in recent years has prompted a debate on keeping classrooms and students safe. One proposal would allow teachers and other school workers to carry guns. Some say it's a common sense solution to school safety. Others say teachers are not in the profession to be armed guards in the classroom. Locally, the Boone County School Board in Northern Kentucky showed no interest in arming teachers. We'll discuss the issue today with Boone County Constable and Federal Law Enforcement Officer Joe Khalil and Boone County Sheriff Mike Helmig. You can join the conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up later this hour, we'll be talking with Cincinnati City Councilmember Kevin Flynn about a comprehensive review of the city's charter. Again, if you want to join our conversation, 513-419-7100. Joe, thanks for being here in the studio with us.
Thank you, sir.
And Sheriff Helmig joins us on the phone. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you, sir.
Joe, let me start with you. Your program is called POST, and POST is an acronym, so tell me what POST stands for.
POST stands for Protecting Our Students and Teachers, which is overall the goal that we have.
And I understand that you and the sheriff worked on this together. What prompted this discussion?
Actually, it was the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut. And about a month afterwards, the sheriff and I got together and started discussions about some ways to mitigate this specific threat. But it was that incident that really started the whole conversation.
And I understand it's modeled after something that involves airplanes.
It is modeled off of the armed pilot program in general terms.
So how would it work?
Well, the basic overview of how the program works is there's a lot of misconceptions and misinformation out there, but it would only involve volunteers, and we're only looking for a 5 to 10% participation rate. No pressure on any school employee to participate, but any school employee would be eligible, not just teachers. A lot of people call it the armed teacher program, but it's any school employee. They would fill out an application. They'd get interviewed. They'd go through a thorough background check, which the sheriff would conduct. Potentially a polygraph test and a drug test. They would have to get a concealed carry permit, and then they would attend a 5.5-day training course, which is 47 hours in length, which is very comprehensive. And every 6 months, they'd have to qualify just like a police officer, and our idea is a one-day refresher course in the end of the summer, just before the school year starts, just before they go back into session.
Sheriff Helmig, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I think the program, like Joe said, is a carbon copy of the Federal Armed Pilot Program. And when I was asked about this shortly after the Newtown shooting, how did I feel about arming teachers? And as Joe says, we're talking about arming staff. It's just not teachers. I said I could support a program that would mimic just like the Armed Pilot Program, because it was the only civilian program that I knew that was in existence. And Joe and I hooked up about a month after that, and him being an instructor in that program, that's how we were able to come up with what we have. You know, it is an all-volunteer program, and many may be interested in that. But through the selection process, it would be about as strict as when you're trying to recruit law enforcement. It's a very tough process to go through the background, the interviews, the training, and all that. And very few get through that in law enforcement, and this would be the same thing. So the people that would get through this program would be highly trained, certified, and ready to be armed in a school environment.
Would you prefer school employees, teachers, and whatnot, who have some kind of experience with firearms?
Well, first of all, you'd be surprised how many people we've never even asked for volunteers, and we've had teachers and employees come forward, and we've had a former police officer, we've had an NRA instructor, a 4-H instructor, a competitive shooter, a former Marine. These are some of the examples of some of the backgrounds of some of these individuals that have actually stepped up already to the sheriff and I and said, I know you haven't asked for volunteers yet, but we would like to participate.
Would they not be preferable to someone who has never handled a gun or never...
I think ideally they would be, because they have a background, but I want to say that the mindset and the willingness to protect the children is the first step. And our program is so thorough in its training that as long as they have the willpower to participate and protect their children, I think we can adequately train them.
How does this, forgive me, I'm familiar with Ohio's concealed carry law. Does Kentucky have concealed carry, and how would this training differ? Is Is it more extensive than what you would have for concealed carry in Kentucky?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, I want to mention right out front that a program like POST is allowed to be adopted in schools right now in both Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana. So all your listeners, this applies to any of your schools. Number two, the Ohio concealed carry course is a 12-hour course requirement. And in Kentucky, it's an 8-hour course requirement. So, and it'd be a requirement to have that permit before they even are allowed to participate in the process.
So in Kentucky, you would go through the concealed carry, the 8 hours, and then you were saying for this, it would be 5.5 days.
And 47 hours on top of that. And it's important to note that in Ohio right now, there's approximately 30 school systems in Ohio that have armed school employees. And in Kentucky, none. We kind of think that's kind of interesting, considering especially that Boone County is one of the most conservative counties in Kentucky.
Do you have any idea of, I mean, you said that you're maybe looking at a school building, maybe a 5% participation rate. What is the average number? I guess it would depend on the school building, but is there an average number of employees per Boone County building?
I don't know what the answer to that. I know Ryle High School is a very large school, and I tell you the truth, I don't even know how many teachers they have, but it's in the dozens, so a lot of teachers. Now, Boone County has 23 schools, and I think it's important to note here right now that there's 9 school resource officers right now to cover 23 schools and 24 facilities. The sheriff employs 9 SROs that cover those schools, and it's an outstanding program. It really is. But the problem is we don't have enough school resource officers to cover all the facilities.
Sheriff Helming, is that something that the school district could, if you're providing that, is that something, do the schools help fund that, and could they provide more funding for more officers?
Well, we have a partnership with that, and they fund one of the positions and then half of another, and the other 7 we fully fund. It is a partnership that we started on a COPS grant many, many years ago, and it has worked very, very well. When we started this program after the Columbine shooting, you know, everything was focused on the middle schools and high schools, and who would ever dream that we would have to worry and think about our elementary schools. And it has evolved now where these officers are assigned to the middle schools and high schools that routinely they have to go and handle problems at the elementary schools and are taken away from our middle schools and high schools and aren't always there all the time. Yes, they could fund that, or the county could fund it or whatever, but that's probably, it's well over $1 million to provide an SRO for every elementary school, and so far I've not found anybody that's got that kind of money right now.
So, I want to make a comment about the SRO program.
Can I follow up on that, Joe, real quick?
Go ahead, sir.
And that's why this program is, you know, it is a common sense approach, and look at the economics of it. So it's little or no cost, and nothing's 100%. But it gives us a layer of protection in those schools. You know, we're saying money's a problem, but we want to protect our children. So this is a common sense, most economical approach for us to do. You know, in Kentucky, it's up to the school boards to make a decision whether they want to do this or not. And it's solely up to them. They're the legislative body to make this decision. And it would be their program. So they could take their program if they're really worried and they want more training for their armed staff. They could even be expanded to a 2-week program. It could be as in-depth as they want it to be because it's really going to be their program with a partnership with us. If they so choose, they could do this on their own in Kentucky and not even involve law enforcement. They have that authority under the statute to do that. They have the authority to hire their own security staff. And Lexington Public Schools have that for their schools. So they have the authority to provide that security on their own. They just have a partnership with the sheriff's office that we provide 9 SROs to the middle schools and high schools. And, you know, now we were wanting to approach our soft targets, which are our elementary schools, and get some armed staff in there.
Joe,
and this is a common sense approach to it.
So with SRO is school resource officer, and you wanted to add
I just want to add one more thing about the SRO program. First of all, I said it was an outstanding program. I've gotten to know a lot of these SROs that work for the sheriff. One of them even told me recently that he loves these children so much that he doesn't even want to go to lunch because he doesn't want to leave them unprotected. But let's face it, one SRO in a school, and not in all the schools, we've already identified that, they get sick, they go on vacation, they go to lunch, they do training events, they do home visits with the principal. The thing about the POST program that's interesting is that it gives additional layer of protection. And these employees that would be participating would be carrying concealed firearms, and the gunman would not know which of them are armed. So what it does is it sets up a team approach, just like in the airlines. You have federal air marshals, you have armed pilots, you have law enforcement. And what we're looking at here is forming that same type of team and layered defense to protect the schools.
I think in one of your postings, you said there were two things that make this very effective. What are those two things?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked. There is actually three. Oh. The first one is deterrence. Right now in our schools, we have a no gun sign. And we think that that sign actually tells the gunman that nobody's able or capable of protecting themselves on the campus. And if we put a sign next to that that says teachers and staff on this campus are trained and armed, we don't think the attack will even occur in the first place, because if you study these shootings, they're looking for high victim counts. They're not looking for a fight. They're looking for a number count. Number two is first responders. The participants in this program would become the first responders, and they're already in the schools. Let's face it. Imagine yourself in a classroom right now, and you're the teacher, and a bunch of students are there, and somebody enters the room with a rifle or a shotgun. You are the first responder already. Now all we're trying to do is equip the first responders with the tool to protect those children. There were four teachers in Newtown that were killed shielding their children. That's unacceptable. And so we want to give that tool to them. The third thing that makes the program effective is the thoroughness of the program. The program has so much training, and all the training is all devoted to one topic: mitigating the active shooter threat. So when I can spend, or we can spend 47, 48 hours with these participants and focus on just that one subject, we can get some concentrated and effective training.
Generally speaking,
the training's ongoing. It doesn't just stop there after you get started. You know, it's the same as law enforcement. You know, they're going to have a semi and annual training that they're going to have, and they're going to have to meet that standard every time, or they're not going to be able to carry. The same as it would be for law enforcement.
I'm interested in the signs on the schools, because you know, many of these cases, I mean, these are psychotic people, and in some cases, suicidal people. Would it really be a deterrent to have that sign on the door?
Actually, you got to think about that. When the first armed response shows up with these people in their shootings, about half of them commit suicide. So now our whole argument is having the first responders on site where they can react in seconds instead of waiting minutes for the police. That person could potentially commit suicide even quicker now, because now they're being challenged by somebody who's trained and armed with a tool that is effective.
You presented this to the Boone County School Board, and it sounds like it fell completely on silent ears. That I think are there five board members, and not a one of them thought that this was a good idea, or expressed that it was a good idea.
This whole program has never been presented to the whole board.
Okay.
The concept has been talked about, but the presentation of talking about the program, the ins and outs, the do's and don'ts, and what the program entails has not been totally presented before the school board. I'd like to have that for the record. There's a school board member, or two school board members that I know of, that have been briefed on the program. But this has never been totally vetted in front of the whole school board. It got 3 minutes, and that was it. And you cannot talk about this program in 3 minutes.
And was that, I'm assuming, like a public comment period where you signed up and you had 3 minutes to make your
And pitch? 3 minutes of presentation does not make. And two of the board members did take it upon themselves to attend our presentation on the program on their own, and we applaud them. But the other three have not, still to this day, received a presentation on this program. So the sheriff is right on.
You know, I understand, a person or people that are against this. But, you know, we have three options. Do nothing, okay? Fully fund and have a deputy sheriff in every school, or law enforcement, and nobody has that kind of money. Or we can just do something that has common sense and is economically sound to do, is training and arming staff. Because in my opinion, doing nothing is not an option.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about school safety, and a proposal about the POST program, which could allow some school personnel to carry firearms on school campuses. If you'd, again, like to ask a question, 513-419-7100, and we have a Carl calling from Blue Ash. Carl, go ahead.
Yeah, if there happens to be an inappropriate use of the firearms by the staff who've been trained, who's liable for that? Is it the school district or the POST program? And by the same token, should students who are mature also have the right to carry arms?
Okay,
to protect themselves from staff.
A couple of questions there, and that was one thing I was going to get to, and that is a big question, the liability of this program.
And right now, this is only focused on staff, so let's be clear about that. We're not talking about students right now. But there's always going to be liability. There's liability that a police officer may use a gun inappropriately. I mean, anybody. But I think you need to realize that 5 to 10% of the people around you in Kroger's and at the library and everything are actually carrying guns. And how many inappropriate uses do you see by law-abiding citizens? There's always going to be liability. But the real liability here is having a program that is more thorough than any program we have found in the country. And there are 8 states that actually allow arms to school employees right now. Ours is more thorough than any in the country. And had being proposed to this program and not implementing it and having another Newtown with 20 kids and 6 parents or 6 teachers killed after having done nothing, I think that's where the liability is going to come in.
If you had this program in a school and say 5 to 10% were carrying a concealed weapon, would the rest of the staff know who the people are who are...
First of all, just like the sheriff said, each school board can implement the program how they see fit. This is not a take it or leave it program. Mm-hmm. However, our vision is that dispatch would know exactly how many people are participating in each school. So if police have to roll to a school because of an incident, all the police officers, responding officers, would be told you have 6 participants of the POST program in that school. So now you've just conditioned them that everybody in that school with a gun is not a bad guy. Number two, the only people that would know that they're armed are other employees that are armed, the staff and administration, and the dispatch, because you do not want people to know who is carrying the gun. So the idea is for it to be concealed and that the gunman does not know who their resistance is.
But the other teachers would know.
The other teachers that are armed would know.
Okay.
Sheriff Helming, let me put that to you. If that question, you know, the teachers will know and you'll know that there are 6 POST people in a school that have a gun. But when you arrive on the scene, how do you sort all that out? I mean, how can you tell in essentially the good guy from the bad guy?
Well, these are all things that we can sit down at the table and work out, you know. We all have computers in our cruisers. Information can be stored and transmitted as officers are going to the school. There could be photos sent to them of who's armed in there, where they're at. These are all things that can be worked out, you know, with law enforcement. Let's say you have 2 armed staff in every school. It's very easily for us to educate and work our department with those people so that we're aware of who they are and they are aware of us. So those are things that can all be worked through. There's really nothing that you can throw out to us that we cannot work through and get through all of this.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you have a question. Herm is calling from Over the Rhine. Herm, go ahead.
Thank you. To try to get away from the emotional freight on both sides that this involves, let's look at some numbers. There are over 100,000 schools in the United States in I think, 2010 or 11 count. There have been about, say, 6 or 7 shooting incidents spread out over the course of the year, in that year that they were counted. What is the statistical probability of something happening in a given school? Now, you put, there are 3.7 million teachers in America. You give even half of them guns, or 2 guns, as the man just said, in every school. And how do you conceal these, for instance, 120-pound, 25-year-old girl in slacks and a shirt?
Okay, Herm, let's let him answer.
Is she going to be able to conceal a weapon on her?
Let's let him answer the statistic question, and that's a point we were going to talk about. You've got way more schools and the number of incidents. Does it statistically make sense?
Well, you know, it's funny about Americans, and until it happens to you and your community and your child, it's people can be pretty apathetic and complacent. And then what happens in their school, what happens is you're going to have wailing in the street, teddy bears and candles in front of the schools, and everybody demanding, why didn't we do anything? The sheriff and I are being leaders, and we're standing up to the plate to give an option. The numbers we've seen is 44 shootings since Newtown. In January of this year, we had a shooting every other day on average at schools. Okay, these shootings are continuing to occur. They are going to continue to occur, and they occur in gun-free zones. We need to mention that. These shootings are occurring in places where there's a sign on the door saying no guns allowed, and all the schools have those signs. They do not protect our children. They actually tell the gunmen that they're vulnerable. It's important to note on the concealment thing, there are multitudes of places for people to conceal guns in their, on their body. And we are going to train them not only how to conceal it, but we're also offering 4 hours of training on handgun retention, hand-to-hand combat to protect their gun wherever it may be. But remember, they're also going to be anonymous. And if you only have 5% armed and they're anonymous and they're carrying a concealed firearm, possibly in different places of the body each day, depending on how they're dressed, we don't see this being a big problem.
Sheriff, you want to weigh in on the number of schools versus the number of incidents?
Well, I think Joe covered it. I mean, you know, we've had so many school shootings since the first of the year. Does anybody know when we had the last one and what the details were? We've had so many of them. We still remember Newtown, don't we? But for some reason, we've had all these numerous shootings, and we've having them so frequently that nobody can remember the last one.
Let's try to work in one more call here. Paul from Hyde Park, go ahead. Paul?
I wonder if the panel could please outline for us the steps you took in researching alternatives to arming staff and teachers, and please say a word or two about why you think this was the best of all of the possible steps to take. And thank you very much again, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
And that question is a great question. I'm so glad you asked that, because that's a great way to actually summarize this program. Every program that's out there, single access door, video cameras, reinforced doors, lockdown procedures, SART program, ALICE program, these are all outstanding programs.
Can you give us some acronyms on what those
are? The SARC and ALICE programs are programs to train staff and sometimes even students on how to react to a gunshot, and it mostly involves run, hide, fight, lock the doors, barricade, that kind of stuff. But there's only two programs that actually deal with, and this is very important, everybody needs to listen carefully. Our program, POST, and the SRO program are the only two programs that focus specifically on those 3 to 5 minutes that you're waiting for police to arrive. So when that gunshot goes off, that first gunshot from the assailant, people are going to die until the police arrive. POST and the SRO program are the only two programs that directly deal with that time element. And time is what we're dealing with that's so important, the lack of time. When the shooting starts, instead of waiting minutes for the police, you want that reaction or that response to be a second ago, don't we?
Obviously, again, you had 3 minutes to present this to the Boone County School Board. Where do you go from here?
Well, we actually have 3 public schools and 1 private school all engaging us in conversations right now, showing us interest. So we're going to, this is a marathon. This isn't a sprint. So we're going to continue to present these programs to other schools. And we think there's a decent probability by the fall we're going to actually have some schools implementing the program.
And Sheriff, since you are the sheriff there in Boone County, is there any sway that maybe you can get more of a hearing in front of the school board?
Well, when we started the school resource officer program years ago, the school board wanted that program with them not being armed in the schools. And through a process, we were able to work with some board members to get through that to where our deputy sheriffs are armed in the school. So there will be a continuing, I think there's a cooling off period, and then there will be some more dialogue. So it's not going away.
We've been discussing a plan to allow teachers and other school workers to perhaps carry guns on campus in an effort to prevent deadly classroom shootings. Our guests were Boone County Constable Joe Khalil and Boone County Sheriff Mike Helmig. You'll find links to additional information on our website at wvxu.org.